It is time to be joined by our friends at the BerkshireEdge.com, where they feature news, story, information, and events that go on in South County and our area at the BerkshireEdge.com. We just touch on a few, I always like to say this, a few of the many stories that they cover at the BerkshireEdge.com. Good morning, Marcy. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning. Happy summer.
Yeah, we have finally made it to summer. The longest
not
day.
Not that you know it.
Yeah, I know. The longest day of the year, and of course now the depressing part is the days start getting shorter.
I know.
Well, you know, the days don't begin to shorten for a few days. You know, there's kind of a lag.
It's going to be interesting this year because it doesn't look like we're going to go back to the time zone. I think the change in the wintertime won't be as dramatic.
Yeah.
Have we decided that we're not going back where there's no more standard time? We stay in daylight savings all year?
I think so. I think there was a ruckus about that. So
there was, but I can't remember what happened.
Yeah. So well, I guess we can just wait and find out.
Wait.
What the heck? You know, there's nothing
come
else.
October. We'll know.
We have to consult Father Time.
Yeah, that's right. Well, speaking about consulting, I read this story, and I mentioned it on the air. The Great Barrington Fire Department, the blaze at the Searles Elementary School that obviously was set, seeing as there's no power or anything like that going into the building.
And no people going into the building.
Well, I think that there are people hanging around.
Yeah, I think
building.
So, right. But there are no people officially going into the building. They're probably squatters and unwelcome visitors.
But this is one of the former elementary schools that were... three of them that used to be scattered around Great Barrington, which were abandoned or decommissioned, I suppose you could say, when they built the new
Monument
Mountain and Muddy Brook Elementary, Monument Mountain High School and Muddy Brook Elementary School, and they consolidated the three little village schools. Those three little elementary schools that were scattered around Great Barrington and Housatonic into one elementary school. And this building that we're talking about, the Searles School on Bridge Street down in the center of Great Barrington, has just remained unused. And there have been many plans for it. But so far,
it's still owned. I mean, the people who there was a huge fight. I don't know if David mentioned it. There was a huge fight over this this hotelier Vijay Mehta and his wife Crystal bought this building. I don't know. I mean, 6 or 7 years ago already. The Edge was still quite new at that point, and. And a huge fight over whether people wanted a hotel downtown, because this is and whether this would change the character of Great Barrington. Of course, the character of Great Barrington has changed so much since that fight took place. But the building is still sitting there empty, and the Mehitas haven't done anything. I think they have spent a lot of money. First of all, buying it. Second of all, they got rid of all of the asbestos that was in the building, so they spent $1 million taking care of that. But the building, you know, right downtown on Bridge Street, which is now a very busy street because the Berkshire Co-op is there, and there's the Community Development Corporation built a whole complex of affordable housing. If the building is still empty.
Now, is that adjacent to a brownfield site or no?
That was across the street.
Okay.
Where the CDC built its housing was a brownfield site.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it was where the log homes factory had been, and they had dumped, what was it called? Formaldehyde.
Yeah.
You know, enormous amounts of formaldehyde as they were making these log homes, treating the logs for log
right.
homes. And that went on for years, you know, whether or not, how we were going to clean that up. But it was finally, instead of being cleaned up, it was just capped.
Right.
And this housing was built there, and now another group of housing is going to be built there. So it's become a busy street.
You know, I think it'd be great. I don't think it would affect the character of the town to repurpose that building into a hotel. It would certainly help the theater business and
the
skiing business and the restaurants.
Course.
Yeah,
it would be
yeah.
terrific. And you know,
and BJ Mejia had a rather elegant plan to convert it to. So
I think the question is whether it's big enough for a hotel to make money. You know, whether there's opportunity for enough rooms there for, I mean, it's really a boutique hotel.
Yeah.
Because it's not big. And also, his purchase, and there was huge fights at the select board and the zoning board. Finally, his purchase depended on his preserving the front of the building, doing a lot of preservation, which limited the amount, limited how he could, how much they could use this building and how much they could build onto it. So I think there's a big question as to whether it could be profitable, given how small it would have to be. And also he was planning to put a lovely restaurant in it, and then I think they cut back on the restaurant. So now it's been so long, nobody really knows what the Mejias are planning to do, but they still own it.
BJ is very entrepreneurial, and he had a number of other projects in Berkshire County, and they so he just, you know, there were so many problems with this particular and obstacles with this particular project that it's kind of mothballed.
Yeah.
At this point.
But at any rate, I mean, it is a story. There was a fire set there.
Yeah.
On Sunday, and the fire department came, and there was lots of smoke. They got there in time, so that the damage was minimal. But
it did remind us of this mothball building,
right, mm-hmm. and right down in a strategic place. You know, so.
All right. Next story is an interesting story,
yeah.
And that's what one of your writers wrote an essay on why. He will continue to wear a mask to avoid COVID-19, even though the requirements for mask wearing are easing. I think a lot of people are making that decision and other decisions now that they're being more thoughtful about it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is Mickey Friedman.
And Mickey writes very long articles for us, but they are always extremely interesting and well worth reading.
And well researched, too.
Well researched, right.
And he cites in his articles lots of sources that support his arguments. And anyways, he's saying that, you know, so many people, of course, are so happy that the CDC has relaxed the mask-wearing requirements. And he's saying, not so fast.
Yeah, right.
And he argues that, you know, we're still at risk. And as he said, he just bought another box of N95 masks.
Right, right.
Mickey is, you can find Mickey every day. He works in the downtown in a coffee house.
Called Fuel.
Called Fuel. And he sits at the same table every day.
Every morning.
Every morning.
Very early.
Almost and surprised. Leaves about yeah. there, you know, when they open, like 6:30 or 7, and he stays there until around 10:30 or 11, writing. And
he's a very dedicated guy. Mickey also, if you drive, I don't know if he's still doing it, but every Saturday for years and years, Mickey was in front of City Hall or Town Hall with a sign that said, "Bring our boys home."
Yeah.
Bring our troops home. Bring our troops home.
Right.
Because they're not just boys. I think he stopped that because the troops were brought home. But
thanks to him.
But he's a very thoughtful and highly principled person who writes us wonderful book reviews of books on political subjects of current interest. So, anyway, I mean, I think people, I know my experience, I mean, I still wear masks when I go into public places. Like, I mean, I wear them at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I wear them when I go into stores, and you know, and most people are not. But I've been very, David and I have both been lucky. Neither of us have had COVID.
And we don't intend to get it.
And we hope not.
I've been the same way. I have masks, and if let's say I'm getting gas, and for some reason the card doesn't work, when I go inside the store to pay, I put it on. When I go to the hospital for one of my many tests that a 69-year-old goes through, of course I put it on because it has to be in the hospital.
The hospital won't let you in without it.
Yeah, but it's basically there for when I'm going to be in an area with congested people, because through all my my illnesses this winter and the past year and a half, I didn't get COVID, and now we're going to keep it. We're going to try to keep it that way, just like you.
Well, so. Yes, I mean, and the husband of one of the people on our team has COVID now. He teaches; he's a school teacher, and they had lots of end of the year events at school, and he came down with COVID, and the cases are less threatening, of course, but people are still getting sick.
Yeah.
And nobody knows about the long COVID, so I want to do everything I can not to get it.
Yeah. You know, the next story hits deep to heart. My real career in radio started at WSBS many, many years ago.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it started many, many years ago. And I looked at the story, and about 5 or 6 years ago, our AM transmitter died. And to replace it, believe it or not, you can buy FM transmitters for $5,000 to $7,000. To replace our AM transmitter was $30,000.
Oh, my God.
We didn't have that. We started a GoFundMe campaign, and within 5 days, our listeners raised the money for us.
A GoFundMe campaign? Yep. When was that?
Oh, that was like 5 to 7, 5 to 7, 6 years ago. And we raised the money within 5 days. Our listeners.
So this was this radio?
Our radio station right here, right now. That's exactly
right. Yeah, your radio.
Yeah.
Robin Hood Radio.
And so we raised the money because of listeners. And I see that WSBS also was knocked off the air due to a part. So fill me in on this story here. Are they still off the air? Are they back
on the air? They're off the air, and they've been off the air now for more than 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah,
they need 4 separate parts.
But they're off AM.
Yeah.
AM. The FM is still
FM, and they still streaming the programming too. So.
Yeah, with AM transmitters, the older AM transmitters, it's hard to find parts, and if you're going to buy a new one, it's like we saw. Well, we found out cost prohibitive. We couldn't believe that we had to spend $30,000 to buy a new one. And we were off the air. Our AM was off the air for about a month and a half.
Yeah. Well, this. I mean, how long has it been now? It's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Of
course, they're on FM, but they their AM signal is
much stronger. Yes, much stronger, and covers a much bigger area.
Yeah.
Well, I wish them the best because I know a bunch of people that work up there, and like I say, I have a fond connection because
that's right.
So I hope they get back on the air soon and continue what they do because there's not many of us small community radio stations left around the world anymore.
No, and they actually have 4 stations.
Yeah.
They're owned by something called Town Square Media. And they have sister stations in North Adams and 2 of them in Pittsfield.
Right.
Of course, that doesn't help them broadcast here in Great Barrington. And it's a very popular station. You know, you go in and out of stores in downtown Great Barrington, and and banks, and the you know, when they're playing the radio, they're playing WSBS.
Well, that's where you get local information. And
not only that, how do you listen to Red Sox games without the local AM station, frankly?
So it's well, like I said, I hope they get back on the air soon. It's a story that that strikes deep at my radio heart, but also like I said, my connection with SBS. I wouldn't be in the business if it really wasn't for the initial 2 years.
Of course, it wasn't
there.
Owned by Town Square then.
No, Don Thurston owned it back then. Yep, Don Thurston.
And then I guess he sold it to Town Square.
No, he sold it to somebody else, and then Town Square. But Don Thurston was a president of the NAB, as a matter of fact.
Oh my!
Yeah, he's a. And the funny story about Don and me is I was always been a liberal, okay? And I'd borrow my mother's car. I used to drive it up there on the weekends, and I had George McGovern stickers all over it, okay? And Don Thurston was a very conservative Republican, and one day he comes to me. And he goes, "Marshall, I'm chairman of the Republican Party here." He said, "Can you
really
believe
for your car?"
He said, "Can you back your car in for me?" So I said, "Sure, John, no problem." He was a great boss and a great guy to be around. But anyways, my best to WSBS. Let's go to the 4th of July parade in Pittsfield.
Mm. Yes. It will proceed. Well, the 4th of July parade in Pittsfield is they dub it the America's Parade, and it really is just a huge event that brings in displays and marching bands and fire departments from all over come to this parade, which has been going on for many years. And this year it's going to, the grand marshal for the parade is going to be Julianne Boyd, who is Barrington Stage Company's
artistic
director. And I think that's really interesting that they've made her the grand marshal for.
Because she's retiring.
Yeah.
She has built this powerhouse organization, Barrington Stage. I mean, she started, you know, giving performances in the high school auditorium in Sheffield,
right,
and has now grown into two or three theaters in Pittsfield,
mm-hmm.
and several shows that have gone to Broadway and off Broadway. She is really quite amazing. She announced last year that she was retiring. I don't think they found anybody to.
Not sure yet.
Yeah. To replace her yet, but it's going to be hard to find someone with her talent and experience. And she's also a prodigious fundraiser.
Well, a prodigious fundraiser, and also someone that can look into the future and have long-term planning, not just day-to-day planning to get by day by day.
Right.
An excellent, excellent leader of what she's done with that company. Amazing.
Yeah, and our story recounts, her accomplishments and career here, and she's been a real powerhouse in the arts.
Well, speaking about the arts. They're back. They're back.
They're back.
Yes.
They seem to be back.
Well, I'm doing interviews with about the opera coming to the Mahewi Theater, Crescendo, Tanglewood.
Yeah. Oh, we have so many reviews.
I mean, they're all coming back, which is so terrific.
Yes, it is. And I think I've mentioned to you that I am chair of a music series called Close Encounters with Music, and we had a concert at the Mahewi, a week and a half ago, and it wasn't full, of course, but it was, I would say, three-quarters full, because it was a fantastic program. It was we had this amazing flamenco dancer, and it was a concert of Spanish music with flamenco dancing and a wonderful guitarist. But still, I mean, you know, the theater was quite full, and the Mahewi continues to check your vaccination certificates, and you're required to wear a mask in the theater. So people felt quite safe, and I think all of the theaters in Great Barrington are still requiring masks and checking vaccination certificates or tests. And Tanglewood, I see, is requiring masks in the Shed and in the Ozawa Hall, but on the grounds it's optional.
And Ringo Starr, couldn't perform, but he's going to come at the end of the season.
Cause he's coming on Labor Day weekend.
He's been knocked out twice now.
Yes, he has. What happened? He was knocked out by COVID.
And now, of course, his band got COVID.
Again, because apparently someone in his group had COVID.
It'll be fun to see the Ringo Starr and his All-Stars at Tanglewood, along with everything else that they're doing. I want to get to your final story, and that is your columnist, Carol Owens, a column about a role that the Berkshires played in the Underground Railroad.
Yeah, Carol Owens is a weekly columnist with us, and she's quite the Berkshire historian.
Right.
And she's written a story about the Underground Railroad and how it was thriving.
In the town of Cheshire,
and in the Berkshires, it was the Berkshire people were very sympathetic to. The cause of the blacks in the South during the Civil War. So, this is a story about how the early abolitionists were in the Berkshires were ferrying the escaped slaves to Canada. So. It's a reminder of our past here,
right? But it's not. I mean, she's writing in particular about the town of Cheshire, but there are places all over the Berkshires that were, that were possibly stations along the Underground Railroad.
Yeah.
So
it's curious to remember that time.
Actually,
I wonder what it was like.
We weren't live with you last weekend, so we didn't mention that there's a Clinton Church restoration that's going on in Great Barrington. It's the church in the African American neighborhood, which is being renovated now, and they had an official ceremony last Friday. I think it was last Friday.
Yeah,
where they renamed themselves the W.E.B. Du Bois Cultural Center. We had an article about that. So we are finally, the Great Barrington is acknowledging its legacy in black history. And so this is going to be, it's still in the process of being renovated, and they're still raising money to renovate it, but they have renamed themselves the W.E.B. Du Bois Center, and it's going to be a place with all kinds of exhibits about black history in the Berkshires.
And I'm one of those people who thinks that we should teach more about what happened in this country and not be ashamed of what our forefathers did at the time, but know about it, learn about it, and realize that we grow as a country. And there's not one country on the face of the earth that hasn't done something stupid or wrong back in the early times when they were formed. And and it's organizations like this, the grassroots organizations, that help keep us informed about our past and our march towards the future. So
absolutely. Well,
well said.
Well, you have to be touchy when you talk about this now because people think you want to change history, and you don't want to change history.
You want to acknowledge it.
What happened?
That's it. That's exactly right. And
right.
Just some of the stories, as I say, just some of the stories that you'll find at the BerkshireEdge.com, which is just loaded with news, information, and events that come up in our area. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Okay, Marshall. Have a good week.
Yeah, you too, and enjoy the first week of summer.
Yes, I wish we would get warm. We built a fire last night in our kitchen and in our wood stove.
I will not turn my furnace on, even though it was 43 degrees outside.
I won't either.
We won't. I mean, because it's. Oil is too expensive now.
That's right. All right, guys. I'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Well, that is, of course, the Berkshire Edge on air. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com on the web.